This is You and Yours, Radio 4's consumer programme. It's 13 minutes past 12. If you've got a smartphone and a laptop, they'll be connected to the internet when they're switched on. And it's predicted that by 2020, lots and lots of other things we use will also be connected. Things as varied as rubbish bins, car parks, roads and fridges. It's being called the Internet of Things. And Ofcom, the communications regulator, is predicting that up to 50 billion things will be linked to the web by the end of this decade. Lots of people have stuff that's linked already. Here's Christian Payne. He's a technology blogger.
It's early days for the Internet of Things, and yet there are so many things talking on the internet right now. More things than people, in fact. Stood at the side of a busy road in London in Zone 1. And it wouldn't surprise me at all to find out that many of these cars and vehicles are at this moment connected to the internet, whether it be through their tracking devices or their navigation apps, which are logging and reporting and recording data, not just for the user in the vehicle, but also other people wanting to know about traffic conditions and journey times ahead. I personally use an app that does this, an app which has been in the news a lot recently called Waze. I find it vital for me to get to where I want to go faster and quicker. It also notifies me in real time should there be speed traps, but obviously I drive within the parameters of the law. I can also see other drivers using the same app, and it's kind of comforting to know that there are people as geeky as me logging data as they drive. People exploring and as connected whilst mobile. Around my neck at the moment, I have an autographer, an automatic camera, which for bloggers and life loggers, it's a normal device. It enables you to document your day in images which can connect to your mobile phone and be shared very easily to social spaces where you can keep a record of events, journeys and places that you want to remember personally, but you can also share that with anybody with an internet connection. Standing in Regent's Park, and just in the last minute I've seen 15 or so runners passing me by, all wearing the same kind of technology I have around my neck, a fitness computer. Some of them are just using their mobile devices, some of them have wristbands, but what these little computers are doing are logging speed, location in some instances, how many calories they're burning, how active they are, and this will stream to the internet, perhaps through their mobile device, and enable them to compete with their friends. If I'm sat too long at my desk in my office, I can get a notification from a friend telling me maybe I should get up and have a walk. I really like this peer pressure forcing me to be more active. This is just the beginning of connecting our bodies to the internet in this way. Health is going to be revolutionized by where we choose to place this data, whether it be with our local doctors or organizations who are researching anything to do with the body.
Christian Payne, and we wondered if this technology is just for serious enthusiasts like him or for everyone, and we decided to ask William Webb. He's Deputy President of the Institute of Engineering and Technology. William, this talk of 50 billion devices by the end of the decade suggests some kind of revolution's about to happen to us. Do you think it is?
I think it is, but it's more going to happen to machines than to us. Now, of course, we interact with machines a lot. So what we'll notice is lots of things just working better. Our car will take us better to the place we want to get to. Our washing machine will work better. But I don't think it will impact us as obviously and as immediately as something like the iPhone and the change to smartphones did. And indeed, the whole idea of this really is to work in the background to make our world a better, easier place to live in, rather than to be in our face the whole time.
We had some practical examples there from Christian Payne. But tell us, what would be the benefit of a fridge communicating with the net?
Oh, the fridge has been an example that's been quoted for so long, it's almost become a joke, hasn't it? There are a lot of reasons why we might want to start connecting many of our white goods in our home. Most of those actually revolve around either maintenance or energy usage. So, for example, the fridge could know that its compressor was starting to labour harder. And as a result, it was probably going to break at some time in the next few months. In fact, it's quite easy to spot imminent breakdown of those kind of components. And it could send a message out to the manufacturer or to the retailer warning them that this was happening. And you could have someone effectively ring you up and say, I need to come and maintain your fridge, before it actually failed and you lost all the goods that were in the fridge. Or alternatively, you could have it linked in some way to the energy system. If you have solar panels, it could work harder when the sun was shining in order to get its temperature down nice and low, and then work a bit lighter on other periods.
This may be a naive question, but won't these gadgets crowd out the space available, overload the system?
They could overload our existing cellular phone systems, which is why a number of people, including myself, are looking at alternative wireless technologies that are optimized very specifically for these machines. They actually have quite different characteristics from people. As you can imagine, machines don't typically want to watch video or play games, but they do
download
want to,
complex graphics.
Indeed, but they do want to send short, succinct messages, often that just says something very simple like, I'm fine or I'm unhappy. And you need a network that's somewhat different to handle those very efficiently.
Now, some people worry that all this reliance on technology, even as we have it now, relying on the sat-nav rather than a map, that we are making ourselves vulnerable to attack. Are they right?
Well, we're certainly getting much more reliant on all sorts of technology. Now, of course, this is nothing new. We've become reliant on electricity over the last century. We've become reliant on the internet over the last decade. And if either of those two systems went down, I think people's lives would be dramatically altered. And in fact, the whole idea of progress of humanity, in a way, is building on each of these gains. But it does mean that if something catastrophic happens, that we have to fall back in some sensible manner. And I think what tends to happen is, at first, people don't rely too much on these new things. So when you first got your sat-nav, you probably also kept the map in the car just in case the sat-nav didn't work. And then progressively over time, you become more reliant on it as you see that it is more reliable. But we do need to make sure absolutely that we are safe against all kinds of potential failure, either from terrorists or inadvertent failure that might be caused by software errors or lack of electricity or similar kinds of things.
William Webb, we must leave it there. William Webb, Deputy President of the Institute of Engineering.